Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, that you inhabit our praise. Lord, open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Open our lives to you, Lord. Open up heavens. Open up heaven and pour out your blessings on us, please, Lord. Bless this time, Lord. Bless your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There were two elephants walking through a jungle. One of them's name was Sydney, the other was Ralph. And Ralph sees this turtle over by the river. And he walks over, he takes a closer look at it, then he kicks it as hard as he can. It goes flying across the river, across the trees. So he turns around, walks back, and Sydney says, what'd you do that for? He said, well, that turtle is the same turtle that snipped at me 35 years ago. Sydney said, wow, that's a good memory. And Ralph said, turtle recall. Can humans have turtle recall? Can we remember things that happened to us way back in the past? Our opening scripture this morning was from 1 Samuel 24, 2 through 18. It is one of two times where David had the opportunity to kill somebody that was going to kill him, and he chose not to. Because that's the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to lift up my hand to the Lord's anointed. David knew he was going to be king. But David was willing to wait until it was God's turn, God's time. He knew it would be. I'm going to read about another encounter David had with somebody. And I know some people might question the way I pronounce this name. But I remember in Hebrew, A-I is pronounced I, E-I is pronounced A. That's maybe a different part of Israel, and maybe it's different, I don't know. But the story is about David and a man named Shimei. Yes, I know, you're thinking Shammai. It's Shammai. No, not in this case, I don't think it is. Anyway, bear with me. I'm old and set in my ways, right? 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 14. David had been dethroned basically by his son Absalom, and he had to flee Jerusalem. And he's leaving Jerusalem when this event happens. 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 14. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gerah. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of the king. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. The uprising didn't last that long. Absalom was killed. He ended up with his head stuck in a tree. He was kind of suspended between heaven and hell, which I always thought that was... A lot of people die suspended between heaven and hell, don't they? Which direction they go? Anyway. We see another event similar. David's on his way back to Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 19, 15 through 23. So the king returned and came to Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants were with him. And they went over Jordan before the king, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan, and said unto the king, "Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" And David said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that you shall this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? Excuse me. Shall any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?" Therefore the king said unto Shimei, "Thou shalt not die." And the king sware unto him. He was allowed to live. Probably 10, 20 years after that, Solomon ended up killing him. Are people getting more easily offended? Have you noticed that? I know on Facebook you can't even post anything hardly without someone jumping all over you for it. Are we getting more easily offended? You know, Linda used to have, she had a lot of sayings. But there's two things I remember her saying. One is, "It is what it is." Can we do anything about it? It is what it is. If we can do something about it, we do something about it. If we can't, then it is what it is. The other is, don't sweat the small stuff. If we get upset, angry, offended, what gain is there? You know, a couple of weeks ago, when I actually started working on this a couple of weeks ago, and that thought came to me, that question came to me, and another one right after it. And I wrote it down. When we get upset, what do we gain? The second question was, what do we lose? We don't gain anything by getting upset, do we? It really shows that person we're upset at, doesn't it? It teaches them a nice lesson. Boy, I bet they'll never do that again. But we lose an awful lot. it diminishes us. You know, I was watching or listening to the debate the other night. And it'd be very easy for me to laugh at one of the people that were one of the participants. But yet, I choose not to do that. I know I have. You may have heard me laughing at him. But yet, I made a decision. I'm not going to laugh at him. I'm not a big fan of his. But to laugh at him, that diminishes me. And and it also can open up a door to where the enemy has authority to come in and affect you the same way. We know we're in the end times, don't we? We know there's a tribulation coming. You know, I was wondering not long ago about why it's called Jacob's Trouble. If it's going to affect us, then why is it called Jacob's Trouble? But yet it also says it's distress of the nations, so we don't really know. And you'll never hear me saying one way or the other whether we're going to be here for the tribulation or not. What you're going to hear me saying is be ready. Jacob's Trouble. More than 50 synagogues had bomb threats in Florida just recently. The world is lining up against Israel. Israel isn't perfect, but Israel is God's chosen people, and Israel, we're told to pray for the peace of Israel. And that blessing that was given to Abraham, which was passed down to Isaac, which was passed down to Jacob, still applies. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And I prefer God's blessing than God's cursing. But we see the times getting darker. We see them getting worse. We see common sense just being thrown completely out the window, just ignored. But what are we going to do if things get worse? Jeremiah 12:5 says, if thou hast run with a footman and they have wearied thee, then how can thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusteth they weary thee, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? If you've run with a footman and they've wearied you. In other words, what are you going to do when things get really bad? If you sweat the small stuff, how will you handle the big stuff? Are we in training? We are, aren't we? Joe Ferguson likes to talk about training for reigning, because we are going to be reigning with Jesus Christ. And we're in training for that. When we see things getting darker and darker and more the world just falling apart, then we can rejoice, because we know the Bible's true, because that was all predicted. That was all said was going to happen. But you get right down to it, the times won't allow us to be too comfortable, will it? Life is not like a bottle of shampoo. How profound. Are you profounded, Will? What does it say in the directions of the shampoo? Apply, lather, rinse, repeat. That word re means do again. You know, I'm sure there's people there that run out of shampoo in the shower because they follow those to the letter, and they're, well, I gotta repeat. It says so right here. Uh-oh, what am I going to do now? I'll wrap a towel around me, go to the store, and get another bottle of shampoo and go back and do it again. Right? I guess, I don't know. Repeat. I've got two words for you to consider. Two words that cause us problems. And yes, they cause me problems too. One is rehearse, and the other is rehash. It has that R-E in there at the beginning. It means do it again. Do it again. Yeah, we spend either too much time imagining bad things that may or may not ever happen, or remembering bad things that have happened. Bad experiences that we have been subjected to, and people that have wronged us. Rehearse and rehash. Did it work the first time you tried it? Did it help? Well, then why do it again? We do, don't we? After all, persistence pays off, right? But not in this case. It just sinks you deeper and deeper into, you know, disappointment, discouragement, depression. What's the best thing to do? Best thing to do is get over it. I remember I had a boss on the llama farm I worked at. And I accidentally left a gate open and let all the llamas out. And he comes out and he's laughing and he says, "It's all good. It's all good. Maybe it's all for a reason. Maybe he was more of a Christian than I thought he was. Or maybe he was on the way. I hope he was on the way." Hebrews 12:15 speaks of a root of bitterness. Bitterness gets in our mind, and that root goes out. And the root represents a growth, doesn't it? The more that root grows, the more the whatever it is that root's attached to grows. Can you have more than one root of bitterness? You can. It can become root-bound. Have you ever seen a potted plant where you take it out of the pot and you look and those roots are just wound so tightly there that there's just no more room for it? That's root bound. Bitterness does that to us. If you're not happy, whose fault is it? Maybe that guy that cut in front of you on I-10 7 years ago? Maybe someone that gave you a dirty look from across the room. That affected me. It was in a church. I don't think she liked me being there. I don't think she liked the way I looked. And I obliged her after that. I stayed away from church for 19 years. There's a lesson there, isn't there? Maybe there's a turtle in your life that maybe nipped at you once. We spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror, don't we? Not enough time looking in the front windshield. There's a reason why that mirror is smaller than the windshield. Because that's what we're supposed to be focusing on. We're supposed to be focusing on what's coming. Jesus talked about, you know, don't worry about tomorrow's troubles, you know, when you got trouble anyway. And don't look back. If someone is saying something to you, listen carefully. Maybe they aren't saying something to cause you offense. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't automatically expect to hear something that will ruin your day or your life. Consider the source. What's going on in this person's life? What has he been dealing with? How big a load is he carrying on his shoulders? Or she? Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." What is the law of Christ? To love your brother. How do we know he's a brother? We don't. So what do? We love him anyway. We err on the side of love. Look for pain in others. Try to look beneath the surface. There may be a very good reason. I had somebody I worked with that that didn't like me. We were kind of competing for a job, and you know, God had given me a temporary job. It was a temporary job, and there may or may not have been an opening for a permanent position. But God had given me that, and he'd give me another one, so I wasn't that worried about it. But he didn't like me. And I was talking to him one day at lunch, and he shared with me what was going on in his life. That he had two sons, and one of his son was put in life in prison for murdering the other son. We don't know, do we? We don't know what someone's carrying. So we look for pain. We look beneath the surface. And then we look in the other direction. We look for compassion. We look for mercy. We look for love and forgiveness in ourselves. You know, you may not know this, but we're at war. People at war don't usually get to choose who they share a foxhole with, do they? The Army or the Marines or... they don't operate that way. You may not like the one you're fighting beside, but you better remember to like him more than the enemy you're fighting. Because that's what it's all about. There's things going on that we can't see, but we know they're going on. We need to be careful what we say. James talks about the tongue and the damage it can do. James 3, 8 through 10, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Don't speak in anger. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes we can make. We speak too soon. I had someone speak to me in anger not too long ago. And some things were said that, you know, it's awful hard to take back some things, isn't it? If someone speaks to you out of anger, choose to believe they didn't really mean the hurtful things they said. Or would you rather believe that they meant it? I don't. I want to think that that person didn't mean the things that were said. Many years ago, I decided to choose to believe that most people pretty much do the best they can. There's a Latin word for that. I think it starts with bull and it ends with something else. But you know what? It became my reality and it works for me. Do I always remember to do this? Well, as you get older, your memory diminishes, doesn't it? We can wound someone's spirit, can't we? We can actually kill someone's spirit. You know what Jesus called that in the Sermon on the Mount? He called it murder. To kill somebody's spirit, he considers murder. Something else we need to do is ask ourselves, does God have a plan with this person? How would it affect history that's going to become if I take his head off? And now the rest of the story. This is a possible scenario. I don't know for sure that this happens, but it just seems so believable, I can't ignore it. Going back to David and Shimei. David spared Shimei. In the book of Esther, chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjaminite. who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Can you see how that could be possible? We don't know, do we? Just like we don't know about that person, maybe we're going to say something to them, or we're going to... Anyway. We don't know. What does God have planned for? These two people saved Israel. And it appears that they were a descendant. It may have been that Shimei, in that 10 or 20 years that he was alive, had a child that he wouldn't have had if he had been killed. We don't know. Lord, help us to show you in everyone we meet, everyone we talk to, everything we say, everything we do, may we show you. You've given us the example. You've given us your word. You've given us instruction to love one another. And yes, we don't know who our brother is, so we need to love everybody, because even if they're not our brother now, they might be in the future, especially if we smile at them and we show love to them. Lord, stop us from saying hurtful things. Help us, Lord, when we're angry, just to keep our mouth closed and just wait and think it over and sort it through it. And it may be a total misunderstanding, Lord. Change our hearts, Lord. May we reflect your love to everyone we meet. Lord, I pray that you'd go with us today, that you'd keep us safe, and you'd bless our fellowship and bless this time, Lord. And we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago you went to a cross for us, for each one of us. We each can say that if I was the only person to have ever lived, you would have still gone to the cross and died for me. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming.